The following is a presentation of the American College of Osteopathic Internists.
Welcome to this recording of the American College of Osteopathic Internists Internal Medicine Board Review Course. The course was held in Baltimore at the Marriott Waterfront Hotel on May 8th through 12th, 2019. The course featured nationally known speakers covering a wide variety of topics of importance to the internist preparing for initial certification or for recertification in the specialty of internal medicine. Joint Fluid Analysis is presented by Dr. Howard Feinberg and Dr. Robert DiGiovanni.
Now I have my synovial fluid that I'm going to run through very quickly. Okay. Now, I'm sorry if I ran a little bit over. I will make up as much time as I possibly can right now. So, I'm on time? Okay. For some reason, the timer is telling me I'm 15 minutes over here. I didn't realize that I was running over before. All right. So, synovial fluid analysis. This also shows up on boards. I don't like this system of evaluating synovial fluid, but it is the system in the textbooks, and it is the system that will show up on boards. So we're going to cover the nomenclature. We're going to cover the appearance of some common and actually some less common, and go over some of the basic and specialized tests that need to be done in it on synovial fluid. The first step is stick a needle in a joint, get some fluid out. If you're doing this, I recommend you use as large a gauge as you can. So for large joints, knees, shoulders, hips, you want 18-gauge needles. For smaller joints, you may have to go down to a 20-gauge needle because 18-gauge may be too big to fit between the joint space for a toe. But you want to use the largest gauge that you can. Synovial fluid tends to be thick, goopy stuff. It's hard to get out. And then you want to look at it. So normal, it's going to be clear and colorless. Osteoarthritis or degenerative problems, slightly yellow color, which is going to be the majority of fluid that you're going to see. Inflammatory fluid may lose its translucence, may turn into a darker color. It could become hemorrhagic or bloody looking, could look white like the gout fluid that I showed you. So first step is look at it. Look at the volume. Normal knee has 1 or 2 milliliters of fluid in it. If you're taking out 130, there's definitely a problem in the joint. Do a cell count. Cell count over 50,000, it's infected, unless proven otherwise. And I don't know how you'd prove it otherwise. Every one of those really recommend you treat for infection. Below that number, above 100, 200 cells is probably inflammatory. The textbook number is 300 cells is considered inflammatory. Typically for rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, you're going to see white blood cell counts in the hundreds to low thousands. In gout, you may see white blood cell counts in the hundreds to 10,000s range. Look at how thick it is. The more inflamed it is, usually the more watery the fluid that will come out. Do polarized light microscopy and look for crystals, and then get a gram stain and culture. So any fluid that comes out, I will record what it looks like to me and the volume that I've taken out and a relative viscosity of the fluid, and then we'll look at under polarized light or send it to the lab to look at under polarized light and order gram stain culture sensitivity on the fluid. Specialized tests, if you think you have one of those apatite or other calcium-containing crystals, would be alizarin red and von Kossel black stain. Cytology, if you're worried about malignancy. X-ray diffraction to do some crystal identification for ones that aren't visible under light microscopy. Mucin clot is an old test for rheumatoid arthritis. It used to be part of the diagnostic criteria. It no longer is, but it's still out there and still available. Measuring viscosity in the lab can be done as well. Generally, I don't have a huge need for that. Glucose. All right, so glucose levels are very low in patients who have malignancy, patients who have infection and rheumatoid arthritis. They tend to be high in other diseases. And then we can use nucleic acid amplification tests, PCR, looking for specific problems. So we divide the synovial fluid into four groups, group 1, 2, 3, and 4. One is non-inflammatory, that's going to be osteoarthritis. Group 2, inflammatory diseases. Group 3, infected joint. And group 4, hemorrhagic. Here are some common diseases that fall into each of those. Group 1, again, osteoarthritis, thyroid-related arthritis, osteonecrosis. Group 2, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, crystal disease, reactive arthritis, or the old Reiter's disease, enteropathic arthritis, Behçet's disease, all the inflammatory diseases that rheumatologists love to take care of. Group 3 is infection. And group 4, hemorrhagic, is going to be bloody-looking fluid, either from trauma or from a bleeding disorder or malignancy, villonodular synovitis. This is what the lab testing on the fluid will look like. So normal, very low volume. Again, a knee would have 1 or 2 milliliters. Smaller joints, much less fluid. The viscosity is going to be high. Color is going to be completely clear. You'll be able to see through it. It'll make a good mucin clot. The white count will be low. This usually will be 0, 1, 2. So white count normally very low. That's the maximum number. And culture is normally negative. So group 1, osteoarthritic fluid. Again, relatively low amounts of volume for most patients with osteoarthritis. That's not an absolute number. I have taken large amounts out of some patients with osteoarthritis, but relatively low volumes, high viscosity still. It'll be yellow, but clear. You'll still be able to see through it. It'll still form a good mucin clot. The white count will still be low. Culture is still negative. Inflammatory diseases. The volume will be higher. The body keeps producing fluid as a result of the inflammatory process to try and cushion the joint. The viscosity starts going down the more inflammation that you see in the joint. It will be yellow and start getting cloudy because of the number of white blood cells in the fluid. Mucin clot will become friable. The white count will go up, and again, typically, you're going to see somewhere between the 200 and 50,000 number, but it can go much higher and masquerade as an infected joint. And then group 3, again, usually a high volume. The viscosity can be variable. The color can be variable. Often not be able to see through it because it's inflammatory there. It will form a poor mucin clot. White count now over 50,000. Culture is variable. Again, don't rely on cultures for infected joints. So this is normal joint fluid. It's completely clear. You'll rarely see that because generally you're not tapping joints that have minimal amounts of joint fluid and are completely normal. But if you did, it would look clear. This is osteoarthritic fluid, gout fluid, hemorrhagic fluid. And again, as a reminder, these are the crystals. So this first one over here is polarized light. And these are the typical needle-shaped crystals from gout. And this is with a red compensating filter. And you're seeing the red and blue negatively birefringent needle-shaped crystals. Another thing to remember is that while white blood cells will try to phagocytize the crystals in gout, they're not usually successful. So not unusual to see a gout crystal piercing a white cell right in the middle of it. That's acute gout. You only need one crystal, by the way. All right, so there's got to be some rheumatologist in the room here. What's this? Anybody want to guess for me? Shout it out. I'll give you two choices, talcum powder or gout. It's both of them. And I really can't tell the difference. This is called a Maltese cross if it's gout, and this is a group of gout crystals together. That's what this one actually was over here. So these yellow and blue crystals in a big clump, and this is powder from gloves. So an easy area to get confused. Now we have lots of powderless gloves, but if there's any in the lab area that had powder on them, it can get on the slide, show up looking like this, an easy area to get fooled. All right, you saw these once before. These are calcium pyrophosphate crystals, positively birefringent parallelogram-shaped crystals. So again, yellow and blue, but they have a completely different shape than gout crystals, and these are positively birefringent instead of negatively birefringent. These are cholesterol crystals. To me, they always look like sheets of mica because I did geology back decades ago. They're these flat, you can see through them, and they have this little corner cut out of them over here that you can see. These are not a sign of elevated cholesterol or hyperlipidemia or triglyceride problems. It's a sign that the fluid has been in the joint for a long time. Once it's been sitting there for a while, not unusual to get cholesterol crystals. Lipid crystals, on the other hand, which are these white blobs, they're usually in groups of four together. So you can see here this group of four of them. They look like four ping pong balls stuck together. That's how I always remember them. Those are a sign of hyperlipidemia and of abnormalities in cholesterol metabolism. And then this is the alizarin red stain that I hope you will all remember and look brilliant to all of your students when you have them down the road. I hope you all have students and teach. And this is, if you can see them, what they would look like under light microscopy. And calcium apatite crystals, and this is the von Kossel black stain. Again, not normally visible under light microscopy, but with alizarin red or von Kossel black, you can see the calcium in them, and this is a von Kossel black stain that's positive. And here are steroid crystals, and that's not an uncommon finding. Your patient went to the local orthopedic surgeon, got a joint injection, their joint was red, swollen, painful, you were worried about them when they came to you, you didn't know, did it get infected, what disease we were dealing with. The orthopedist, unlike all of you brilliant doctors in the audience here, didn't run the synovial fluid test, so you don't have an answer. So you tap it, you go to look at it, and what you find are these things, which look a lot like gout crystals, and can be very confusing. And those are actually from the steroids that were injected into the joint. So again, part of the differential for a crystalline disease. And these blue ones here can look a little bit like calcium pyrophosphate. This certainly looks more like gout. They can look both ways. And this is synovial fluid with ochronosis, where you can actually see the deposits dropping down. This is a tissue biopsy of the same disorder. And my contact information, and I think we're there.